Canadian show, North American radio show, and now worldwide show, the Lizzie T Blog Talk Radio Show. She wants to know who you are, what you do, your contact info, anything new? And now welcome the amazing Lizzie T.
Hello and welcome, welcome everyone. I am your host and one of the producers of the Lizzie T Show. And don't forget, Lizzie T Show on YouTube as well. We are live today. We are so, so excited. We are live also on Facebook, Facebook Live. And if you're watching us right now, we have an amazing author talking about an incredible book. So tune in, everyone. And if you would like to interact with us, don't forget that we do love interaction. The number is 319-527-6060. Again, is 319-527-6060. Perhaps you have questions for me, for my guest, an accomplished author, or you are a writer yourself and you would like to know how he got started, or any tips for a matter of fact. So interact with us right now. Again, we are live. The lines are open, and we love Facebook to interact with us as well. We are on all the social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. We are on Twitter, and yes, we are on TikTok. So follow us on all the social media, and we love to have you some interactor. Perhaps if you would like us to interview you, if you have a book, if you have come up with a book in this lockdown, or if you're a musician, singer, songwriter, or if you are a poet. I notice a lot of people are writing poems nowadays. So if you have any of those talent, or during lockdown you have been inspired, we'd love to find out about it, and we'd love for you to interact with us and tell us about it. We'd love to promote you. We'd love to tell the world that you're special talent. And now the internet is it. Unfortunately, in many places in the world, we're not able to go out. Canada, Toronto, we are still on lockdown. Little things are opening slowly, like parks and some places where you can buy your plants, because it is spring here in Canada. So, love for us to find out a little bit more about what you do. And the theme of the show is tell us who you are, what you do, contact him for anything new. Again, we have an amazing, amazing author. So Facebook Live, we will return later on if you have any comments or if you have any questions. Also, I would like to thank my sponsor, Natasha Bridgman. Another year, you are amazing. Thank you so much. By the way, everyone, if you contact Natasha, we will have her jingle throughout the interview, but if you contact Natasha and you mention that you heard about her via the Lizzie T Show, hey, my job is complete. That's what I'm here for. Natasha helps people with their financial needs. I know a lot of people, especially now in Canada, have lost their job, or their job's on hold. They need to refinance, whatever the situation is. Give Natasha a call. She is a financial advisor. She helps you to save for your retirement and with your kids' education, mortgages, and much, much more. Don't forget that right after the interview, we have our musical section. So we have about half an hour, give or take. We don't go by the clock here. We go with the rhythm. We have our musical section. So if you're, as I said earlier, if you are a musician, singer, songwriter, and you would like to have your music played here right after the interview, we have our musical section. And we play all different types genre. Gospel, my favorite. We played jazz and rap and Latino music, African music. The list goes on. We do not discriminate. One thing that we want to make sure that is all the songs that are being sent to us are PR rated. And there's a lot of people that speak different languages, so we are able to listen and understand some of the songs. But some of them are in language that, you know, people here are not familiar with. So we're trusting that all those songs are clean version. Sounds like a plan? Wonderful. Okay, so I think my housekeeping, I just want to say that today is a beautiful day here in Toronto, Canada, plus 13. The sunshine is up. I was up at 7 and I went out for my wonderful about 45-minute walk. And I was able to breathe fresh air. One of the good things about lockdown and not able to drive as much as, you know, many people are because they're not going to work is that I find that the air is a lot cleaner and it feels really nice to breathe. That's pretty much it. My thoughts and prayer are with the people that are ill and that are have contracted this horrible disease, this horrible issue that we're going through all over the world. And I know that some places are a lot worse than others. Again, my thought and prayer are with them. And I'm hoping that wherever you are in this beautiful world that our Lord has created, that you are safe. And I know that a lot of people say that a lot. I hope you're safe. I hope you're safe and healthy. But what else do we need to do? What else do we need to say? It's hard to think of something else. If you do, let me know. Let me know. Some people, they're saying they're getting tired of hearing that. But again, I don't know what else to do. Okay, so hopefully wherever you are, again, if you would like to interact with us, give us a call or even interact through our social media, Facebook/ The Liz T Radio, The Liz T Show on Instagram, The Liz T Show on Twitter, LinkedIn, and TikTok as well, and obviously our YouTube channel. Most of those are transferred here to our YouTube channel as well. Okay, so I'll be right back with my guest, everyone.
Don't go anywhere. And eventually,
don't go anywhere.
Canadian show, North American radio show, and now worldwide show, the Lizzie T Blog Talk Radio Show.
And that's true. I do want to know who you are, what you do. Contact info, anything new. Today we have author, international author, all the way from beautiful Wisconsin. And I hope the weather is nice there. With Tom Corbett. He is an author with an amazing book that I was reading. I love the book cover and a very intriguing subject, a very intriguing title, rather. It seems like a nice idea at a time. And it's a confession of a clue rebel with a true story that brings back time. Partially serious, largely humorous. This tale takes capture in real story of idealistic band Youthful American who journey halfway around the world in response to President John F. Kennedy. Wow. So let's hear from author Tom Corbett with a wonderful round of applause. Hello, hello, Tom, and welcome. Welcome to the Liz T Show. How are you doing this afternoon and other like them?
Well, the weather is not bad. It's getting a little cloudy here, but it's reasonably warm. It's been kind of a cold spring, but in any case, I'm glad you're calling from Toronto, which is one of my favorite cities. I've spent some time up there, and I love your city very much. But
well, that's awesome.
For having me.
Yeah, this is, to be honest, this is the first time I've heard people, well, not the first, I have to say, maybe the third time our friends from America, and they actually said that they've been to Toronto, which is, you know, not heard very much. Most people from the States, especially in LA, they ended up going to Vancouver, which is one of our very multicultural city, and here in Toronto as well. So I'm glad. I have actually never been to Wisconsin myself. We snowbirds like to go either to Florida or Miami. Those are the places that we love to go to. So I'm glad the weather's not too bad there. We've been having a lot of rain and very cold. And today, you know, our Creator has graciously gave us a beautiful day, and it looks like it's going to stay like that for a little while. I mean, it's springtime here in Canada anyway, so, you know, we're saying, come on, we want to get out, we want to be able to, you know, have our spring life starting. So how is lockdown treating you in Wisconsin?
Well, you know, I think it's a strain on everybody, but Madison, where I'm in the state capital, and it's, I think, a rather progressive city, and so people understand that they should do the right thing and to be safe. So at least my impression has been that most people are trying to play by the rules and are considerate of others by wearing masks and practicing social distance, and so on and so forth. But I think we're in for a long and bumpy ride. You know, there's a great deal of pressure to open things up. But if we do that prematurely, you know, we could be in even deeper trouble, which is certainly one of the lessons that we learned from the 2020 flu pandemic, you know, when cities opened up too quickly and then had very severe consequences for hasty decisions.
Well, and I think the most important part, Tom, is that people do abide to the law, and even if you don't agree with what's going on, or you know, a lot of people are talking about conspiracy and things like that, which I'm not going to get into it. However, one of the things that as a Christian and believer myself, you know, we should respect our authorities, regardless of whether we agree or not. And I think that a lot of people, you know, they take that. They don't respect that as we should. Yeah, authority, government, police, and all that. I mean, as a Christian, you should believe that, number one. You should respect that, number one, and not go against it and create, you know, riots and commotion. And I have been seeing some of the riots in New York, you know, which is, again, it's very disrespectful towards people that are indeed sick, suffering. I mean, especially people that are, you know, elderly seniors that have a low immune system, we should be considerate to them at least. And again, our third and prayer are for people that are working really, really hard to try to keep people safe, the governments and definitely our seniors. I mean, I have a father which is, his health is very, very delicate. So I'm, you know, I definitely would like people to stay away from him, and because I want to have them for as long as I can. Very selfish, but, you know, that's what I, that my desires to fathers like mine and to many others. So respect, number one, and respect to authority, for sure. So Tom, let's start get started here with this amazing book, and obviously you talk about a confession. So this is a true story. So for the audience that are listening to us all over the world, and we want to make sure that people, you know, especially in lockdown, we have lots of time to read amazing books and good book and humor and to lighten things up for us. So what brought the idea? How did this concept or how this book started?
It actually started with some conversations I had with a colleague of mine at the University of Wisconsin. I spent my career on the faculty of the University of Wisconsin. I'm retired now, and so I have a chance to write all the books that I wanted to for the last six decades, I believe. And she's actually now an associate dean at the university, and She read a couple of edited volumes that my Peace Corps group from the 1960s had put together. And she made the observation that my Peace Corps group had two subgroups, one mostly female that did public health work in Maharashtra, and another group, all male, that did kind of community development work in Rajasthan. And she said, you know, the women did good work, but you guys were a bunch of clowns. And she kept saying that your antics probably would make a good sitcom like MASH was. You know, people trying to do good, but, you know, they wound up doing crazy kinds of things. And she kept saying that, and it got me thinking. So I sat down and began to communicate with some of my old colleagues who were in what was called India 44. That was the group that went off. And collected some more stories from them. And I sat down and I wrote this book called It Seemed Like a Good Idea at the Time. Now, in some ways, it's also a story about the 1960s, about that tempestuous time, which had a lot of craziness to it as well, anti-war movements and the sort of the hippie movement. But at the same time, it had a lot of young people who were motivated to do the right thing. And many of them gravitated to John Kennedy's invocation, to ask not what your country can do for you, but what can you do with for your country. And so we were part of that band of young volunteers who signed up with great idealism to do what we could do for our country. Now, what provided a lot of the humorous aspects to it is that the program wasn't terribly well thought out in the beginning. And so we were a bunch of smart, very smart college kids who were kind of scooped up, given some training, and then dumped in rural India to do good. But we really didn't know what we were doing. You can't take a college kid, train him to be an agricultural specialist or rural development specialist in a few weeks and expect him to perform miracles. And if you have a chance to read the book, you know it is both funny and sad and uplifting. These are all the words that readers have used. But at the core, I think there was a fundamental lesson in our experiences that no matter how badly we thought we did because we were so unprepared, in the end, I think we probably did a pretty good job of representing the United States. But also we learned so much from our interactions with people on the other side of the world in these very trying conditions. And that group, a small group of us who stayed the 2 years, I think of what they went on to accomplish, many of them getting, doctorates from the best universities in the United States, working for the United Nations, working for the State Department, working for the Federal Reserve, working in healthcare. And what they accomplished in their lives was truly remarkable. And Either Peace Corps picked the right people to begin with, or something about that experience changed us and made us better people. I like to think that a little bit of that latter is true. I can just say I've been very, very taken with the reaction to the book so far, even from younger people who for whom this is like a new history, something that they're not mm-hmm. familiar with. And they seem to be responding very well to it.
And you actually just answered my second question, is how would you say the reaction of friends, family? I mean, you've been writing for a while, so this is not your first book. This is you've been writing other books for a while, so you have a lot of experience in writing. So, you answer it. People have a very good response, even younger people that are seeing things in a different way. I love the title, it seemed like a good idea at the time. Is this something that you thought about it, or was it your promoter or your PR person, your publisher thought out for you? Because it's, when I read it, I was like, okay, what are we going to find here? And even in the cover, it's pretty incredible. How did that all work out?
Well, the title of the book was mine, and it's just my idea. And it, I think I probably went through a couple of others first beforehand. But when I stumbled onto that, I think it's kind of an old one-liner that we used when we did something that in our youth that turned out to be not such a great thing. We would often say to one another, you know, it seemed like a good idea at the time, but it turned out terrible. I won't say that our Peace Corps experience turned out terrible at all. I think it was a very a positive experience, but it was a very difficult experience. India was a very difficult site, in part because it was a new program at the time, and, you know, we were not, I think, well trained in what we were supposed to do. We felt a lot of, in the moment, a lot of uncertainty, some dissatisfaction. It was a struggle, and there's no question about it. And so part of my group getting together many years later and writing about the experience was a way to put it into perspective. And I think from that set up, that kind of expressing ourselves and communicating among ourselves, we came to a greater understanding of just how important this early experience was to us as people, as human beings. And I do think that's something we have that's changed and that we've lost in our society. Mm-hmm. That for all the craziness that existed back in the 1960s, there was this motivation to do the right thing, to make a contribution to the world. And I don't quite find that. Mm-hmm. And I taught at the University of Wisconsin for many years. So that's one of the things that struck me about, you know, the new cohorts and new generations of students.
Yes. Well, you're probably teaching millennials at the time, millennials, and you probably, I'm not sure if you have grandkids, but I have Gen Zs, Generation Z, and I'm telling you, they're completely self-observed. If I tell you the things that my Gen Zs tell me, you probably will fall and faint. It's very, very interesting, and I'm not going to say I have saints as kids, but I will never be able to say things like that when I was their age. But that's the mentality, and that's what they're being taught, and very heartless one, very self-observed. Looking back at your experience as a Peace Corps, obviously you say, well, even though it wasn't a good idea at the time, I guess if you look back, you said, I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I had that experience. I've never been to India myself. I've been all over Central and South America and North America, but I've never been to India. And being in a third world country, I think I can say that it's very challenging to be in an environment that is not North America. How would you rate in retrospect your experience? Are you glad that you did it?
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. It was a life changing experience. There's no question, and I think that we didn't really realize how much of an effect it had on us as individuals until a long time after it was over. But it would take a long time to go through what made it such a profound experience, but I can just maybe give an example. You can be told that you're going into a culture that's very different. You know, for example, the concept of time is very different. If you were to ask someone, when is the bus coming? You're standing at a bus, you know, and they would tell you, in Hindi, Abhi Aa Rahe Hain. It is just now coming. And you think, oh, the bus is just now coming. Good. And so you sit there and you wait and look for the bus to come 5 minutes, 50 minutes, 5 hours, and it doesn't come. Anyway, wait, I thought you told me the bus was just now coming. Yes, it is, Saab. It's just now coming. It means it's going to come sometime. Not that it's just now, it's going to come right now. And you can be told that before you go there. But until you experience it, you don't really understand it. I mean, everything that we take for granted is different. And just your whole, the whole temper of your internal wiring, you know, we're fast-paced, westernized. You get it done today. And suddenly it dropped in the middle of a rural area where, you know, bullock carts are walking, lumbering by. Or camels are lumbering by very slowly because the whole pace of life is quite different. And the other thing that it took, and I think was very profound on us, was that you were always under a microscope. Now, it wasn't as bad in Delhi or Bombay, which is now Mumbai, but Bombay back then. But in the rural area, I mean, you stood out. And everything you did was under a microscope, and that wears you down after a while because we go through life kind of in an unconscious fashion, you know, with scripts that we've perfected over time. But if you have to think about everything that you're doing and saying and who you're talking to, because it's a very complex society and it's not always a very forgiving society. So you get Hindus and Muslims and different castes, and you know, almost different religious affiliations, and so there are so many rules that I think come out of this mosaic of differences that it's just getting by every day was an intellectual and to some extent emotional challenge. But in the end, we became a lot more aware of our own culture and how we think about things, and much more appreciative of the differences that exist in this great big world of ours. So, yeah, in the end, it was a great experience. I think we're all glad we did it, but it had its moments. Let me put it that way. And some of them were very funny. I mean, if you read this, you'll laugh, and some of them are very sad. I mean, some of it caused great doubts, but you know, some of the gals in our group, I mean, they had to deal with dying and watching people that they wanted to help but couldn't because of the poverty and everything, you know, around them. And for we who were doing rural community development and agricultural development, you know, we were faced with making tough choices because we wanted to help the poorest farmers, but they were the ones least able to try these new things. And so you had to make difficult choices about who you were really going to help. And none of that was easy when you were just a 22-year-old recent college graduate. But it turned us into better people in the end.
Obviously, your experience is very different than all of the other experiences because you were part of the Peace Corps and working for the government. But I think in the full scale, the full picture, a lot of youth, a lot of people should do once in a lifetime a trip at least to a third world country, a country where you don't have all resources that you are used to having in Canada or the U.S. I think it's very necessary. One of the things that I definitely took my kids to South America to see, you know, you have it really good. You know, you have running water, clean running water up to a point, obviously. You know, you have food in the fridge and a lot, as you can see, a lot of people don't have that. So I think everybody should have once in a lifetime at least an experience where things are a lot different and you take for granted, you know, things, very, very normal things like water and going to your bathroom and doing things that
It's a shock when you have no toilet, you have no running water, no electricity. if you read some of the stories that I share, a lot of the volunteers, when they were first arrived at their site, there'd be some relatively small village and people didn't even know they were coming. And they get dumped off at the end of the day and people looking at them, who are you? But we all survived. We all somehow made it through and even made a contribution or two. Some of them built schools and we did demonstration plots. People did inoculation programs for children. So there were many good things along mm-hmm. with our kind of funny and sometimes embarrassing antics. But it turned out to be a good idea at the time.
And obviously you have a book to show for, and everyone, you are listening to the Liz T Show. We are live right now on TikTok, rather, on Twitter. And so if you have questions, comments, perhaps you would like to ask a little bit more detail of Tom Corbett's experience in India. The book is called, it seemed like a good idea at the time. The number to call us in is 319-527-6060 and interact with us today. It will be an honor to have you here interacting with us. And one of the things that I don't want to forget for you that are watching us on Twitter and listening to us, thanks to Block Talk Radio, where can people, where can they get your book?
They can go to Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com and get my books there. You might want to check out my website, which is just www.booksbytomcorbett.com. And I've written, since my retirement, about three different memoirs and three fictional books. And right now I have to go back and write a co-author, a second edition of an academic book we put out a decade ago. But then I'm going to go back and write another fictional book later this year. Writing was something I wanted to do as a kid, but I decided I also wanted to eat three squares a day and have a roof over my head. So I became mm-hmm. an academic and had a good policy career. But I've been fortunate enough to have a chance to go back and realize my early dream.
Well, you are retired now, and you do have the time. We are on lockdown for some of us here. Anyway, right. So how about your creative juices, the boredom, the need to come up with something? I think a lot of people are going to get very inspired. I'm seeing musicians writing out of, there's no tomorrow. I've seen people that they have that instinctive entrepreneur within themselves. They're making up new different business, different idea, and especially for COVID-19 right now, I see people sewing masks to give it to everybody. So I mean, there's a little bit of good of all this horrible experience. So I guess you will be sharing with us another book. One of the things that I wanted to ask you, and we're starting to run out of time, I'm so sorry, Tom, people that are listening and watching us via Twitter, for somebody who has an idea to write that special book, what would be your advice?
Wow. For me, I was always known as a good writer, even as an academic, even though it was formalized writing. I think it was just something that had built up in me and it was inside me and I wanted to express. I would say the best thing to do is to start writing. I think I tried to read one book about the art of writing and I just found it not very helpful at all. I'll relate one thing. When I was in college, I remember running into my English lit professor in a lunch line, and I said, you know, someday I'd like to be a writer. And he didn't laugh at me, which was very nice of him. But he said, okay, that's nice, but can you tell a good story? That's all he asked me. And I thought about that question for the next six decades. If you, you know, even better than being very expressive or literary, if you can tell a good story, people will want to read it. And that's, I think, the key to becoming, at least for me, to becoming a writer. I wanted to find out if I could tell a good story. And if reactions are any indicator, I've succeeded in that. People really seem to respond well to my book so far.
You know what, Tom, I've heard everything about not giving up, just do it. But this is the first time I've actually have to say that I've heard someone said, can you tell a good story? And I use my radio show, for example. I mean, can you make sure that the author or the guest that you have, can they tell a good, can you help them to tell a good story? And it, actually the same thing applies for a writer. Can you motivate me? Can you tell me, can you entertain me with your book, with your story? So I think that's well put, a wise teacher. And I guess you follow that, that advice for the rest of your life, because here you are writing several books and doing well at it and sharing it with the world. So awesome. I think I'm going to be using that. Can you tell a good story? Twitter, you guys are watching now. Love it. Love it. Tom, I can't believe time is going by so quickly here at the Liz and D Show. We only have 23 minutes for a musical section. I'm sorry, guys. We will play your song, but this was too good. Too good to pass down and too good to cut it up. So check it out, Amazon. The book is called, it seemed like a good idea at the time. Check it out. I will have the links for you to be able to go straight to my social media, Facebook/Liz and D Radio, here on Twitter as well. And check it out. It's a must. If you would like to have a little bit of humor in this tough time, that's the book to read. It seemed like a good time at the time. By Tom Corbett. Any last word, my friend?
I'll just plug one other book. If you find you like that book, and check out Confessions of a Clueless Rebel, which is my early memoir, hysterical post-World War II period, sort of, sort of escaping from my roots kind of thing. So that would be the second book I'd go to. But other than that, it's been a pleasure talking with you.
Oh, it's a pleasure and an honor to have you on the show. All the best. Keep up the good work and enjoy your retirement. And don't get too worried about lockdown. It will pass. I know we're living different times, but it will pass. Take care, my friend.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that was Tom Corbett, everyone. And Twitter, I will say goodbye, because this is definitely one of the books too. To check out right now and to say, you know, hello to all the people that are watching us right now. We'll continue on with our musical section, everyone. Todd Arum, Kiss by the Sun. Todd Arum, Kiss by the Sun.
don't believe that you're enlightened. I'm a child. Can't you feel your river of tears? Burn and smile. We are the ones we're waiting for. Don't need to search the stars.
No more looking back, hurt this soul. Go ahead and keep going.
That was Alzina. She's right here from Toronto, Canada, and the song is called Separate Ways. We still have time for a couple of more songs. Next one is Ashley with the song Daria.
I can see you falling apart. The pieces of who you are, you're not who you used to be. Honey, you just live inside your head. You can break, but you don't bend. You don't have to hide from me.
Streets full of poverty, and the businessman has been by. I want to lift you higher, higher. I want to lift you higher, higher. You gotta lose yourself, no matter what comes in your way. We gotta lift him high, 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 high. Want you to carry me through the storm. I wanna lift you up, oh yeah. In these city streets full of poverty, and the businessman passing by, I wanna lift you higher, higher. I wanna lift you higher, higher. I wanna lift you higher, higher. I wanna lift you higher, higher.
And that was Miranda with the song Higher. And I think we have time for one more song before we have to go. This is Gorette, a beautiful gospel singer. We had her on the show about 3 years ago, maybe longer. And the song is called Don't Let Me Run. Don't Let Me Run by Gorette.
Don't let me run ahead of you. Just let me stay at your feet. I long to hear you speak. One word.
Isn't that a beautiful gospel song? Don't Let Me Run Ahead of You. I love it. Thank you so much. And we will be back tomorrow with another guest, another show, and another fantastic day. Enjoy it, everyone. Go out for a walk. That's what I'm going to do right now. Enjoy a little bit of the sunshine that we have here in Toronto, Canada. And we'll be back again. Bye-bye for now, everyone. Bye-bye.